بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، خصوصا على نبينا محمد المصطفى وعلى اله واصحابه نجوم الهدى قاد بالتقى. اما بعد، قال الله عز وجل في القران المجيد والفرقان الحميد: اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا ايها الذين امنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من صام رمضان ايمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. وقال عليه الصلاه والسلام: من يريد الله به خيرا يفقهه في الدين، او كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. My dear respected elders and brothers and mothers and sisters listening at home, Allah Azza wa Jal has once again blessed us with the holy month of Ramadan, and alhamdulillah, more than a week has also passed. In this month of Ramadan, Allah Azza wa Jal has ordained a special ibadah on the Ummah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which was also ordained on the nations that came before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every divine religion, had fasting prescribed in their shari'at and in their religion in some shape or form. That's why Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَوْ يُوْ بَلِيبْ كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ. Fasting has been ordained upon you as it has been ordained upon those who came before you, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may achieve piety and you may achieve the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, fasting was ordained in the second year of Hijrah after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated from Makkah to Madinah Munawwara. And before the migration to Madinah Munawwara, the fast that was compulsory upon the Muslims was the fast of Ashura. The 10th of Muharram, it was compulsory to fast on that day. Then in the second year of Hijrah, after Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated to Madinah, Allah Azza wa Jal ordained the fast of Ramadan, and the fast of Ashura became abrogated and it was no longer compulsory, but now it remains a sunnah, optional. If someone wants to fast it, they can fast it. If they don't want to fast it, then they don't have to fast it. So fasting is the fourth pillar of Islam and is a very great worship. Now, with all the different worships, whether it is performing salah, whether it is giving zakah, whether it is performing hajj, or whether it is giving sadaqah, charity, there are two aspects to it. One is the spiritual aspect, and one is the fiqhi aspect and the outward aspect of that worship. For example, salah. So we know for salah there are certain fara'id, there are certain things which are compulsory in salah, there are some things which are sunnah in salah, there are some things which are optional in salah. So this is the fiqhi aspect and this is the physical aspect of salah. And then there is the internal and the inner aspect of salah, which is performing salah with khushu', with khudu', with devotion, sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not with the intention of showing anybody. So this is the inner aspect of salah. So the same way, fasting also has both aspects. Either it is the inner aspect, and the inner aspect of fasting is that we fast only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to show anybody, and during our fast, we stay in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we abstain from backbiting, we abstain from worldly things, we abstain from sinning. This is the inner aspect of sawm. But there's also a fiqhi aspect to it, what is necessary, whom fasting is fard upon, who it is not fard upon, who is exempted from fasting, what are those excuses which make it allowable for a person to break his fast, and which things break a person's fast, which things don't break a person's fast. This is also something that we need to learn, and this is something that we need to know. So inshallah today we'll go over some of the masail of zakah. Literally in the Arabic language, the word sawm means to abstain. Abstain from anything, whether it's from eating, whether it's from drinking, whether it's from fulfilling a person's carnal desires with his spouse, or whether it's from talking. This is the literal meaning of sawm. And in the Quran, the word sawm has been used in this literal meaning. And in the Sharia of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from a fiqhi perspective, the definition of fasting is that a person refrains from engaging in sexual activity with his spouse and from entering anything into his body cavity. Anything into his body cavity, whether it is deliberately, on purpose, or whether it is mistakenly, from dawn till dusk. Abstaining from sexual activity, abstaining from entering anything inside his body cavity from dawn till dusk. So number one, the time of fasting. When is a person supposed to start his fast from? Dawn. Now what is dawn? What does dawn mean? At Maghrib time, we know that the sun is set and it comes down until it comes underneath the horizon. And after the sun comes underneath the horizon, it goes down until it comes to a certain extent where it starts rising once again. And that coming down and coming back again, according to astronomers, is measured in degrees. So when it goes down a bit, 1 degree, 2 degrees, 3 degrees, and the astronomers say that between 1 degree and another degree, there is a gap of approximately 3 to 6 minutes. So when the sun starts coming back up, before the sun actually comes above the horizon, because as soon as the tip of the sun comes above the horizon, what happens? You're not allowed to break Fajr Salah anymore. Fajr time ends. But before that, a couple of hours before that, there is a fine white line that arises above the horizon. A very fine white line that comes, white light that comes above the horizon. And that is called false dawn. That is called false dawn. Subh-i Kadhim. And after that light appears, that light stays for about 10 minutes. And after 10 minutes, that light disappears. And the sky is completely dark again. And after that, for another 10, 15 minutes or 20 minutes, the sky remains completely dark. And after that, another white line appears over the horizon. The first white light appears vertically, and the second light appears horizontally over the horizon. And then, after that, there is no more darkness, that light continues to grow until the full sun comes out. So that second light is called true dawn, and that is when a person's fast starts. Now, the astronomers and the ulama of today, they have deferred that exactly what time and at what degree this second light comes above the horizon. And there is a valid difference of opinion in here. And this difference of opinion is not only amongst the ulama, but this difference of opinion also exists amongst the astronomers. Some astronomers say that second light, true dawn, appears when the sun is 18 degrees below the horizon. Some astronomers say that no, that second light appears when the sun is 15 degrees below the horizon. And some astronomers say that no, that second light appears when the sun is 12 degrees below the horizon. And that is why most of you know that in different masajid amongst the GTA, on the timetables, some people have stated the Fajr time to be a bit, the time for Sahri to be a bit early than the time that we have in our masjid. And this is a valid difference of opinion. This is not something that we should fight about, which we should quarrel about. It is a valid difference of opinion. The astronomers have a difference of opinion. The ulama also have the right to have a difference of opinion. Whoever follows with research, they have the full and complete authority and right to follow that research. So for the layman, what they should do is their local masjid, their imam, their mufti, whoever they have trusted, whatever that person is following, then they should also trust that person. Because in the Quran, we have been commanded, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. That if you're not aware of something, if you don't have knowledge about something, then ask those who you know. And we ask the ulama, and once we ask the ulama, whatever they say to us, that is sufficient for us, inshallah, on the day of Qiyamah, we won't have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there's anything, inshallah, the ulama, they will answer for it. So in Masjid Darul Salam, we normally follow the 15 degrees, and when the sun is 15 degrees below the horizon, we say that now the time for Fajr has entered, and now a person must abstain from fasting. And some other masajid, they follow the 18 degrees and they stop fasting about 20-25 minutes before us. If they want to stop at that time, that is completely up to them. Inshallah, our fast will be correct and inshallah, their fast will be correct as well. So, suhoor. Now, when should we make suhoor? Suhoor should be, is it best to make sunnah? Number one, suhoor is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Comes in hadith, تَسَحَّرُوا فَإِنَّ فِي السُّحُورِ بَرَكَةً. That make suhoor because there is barakah and there is blessing in suhoor. Now the best time to make suhoor is in the last portion of the night, just before true dawn. The later you make your suhoor, the better and the more reward you will get for it. Now, before we fast, The niyyah, the intention. What does it mean to intend to fast? Number one, for your fast to be valid, intention is necessary. Without an intention to fast, if a person abstains from eating, drinking the whole day, and his intention, for example, is only to lose weight, or, you know, he's on a diet, okay, and his intention is not to do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then even though he didn't eat, drink, or abstain from sexual activity, his fast is not valid. So a person has to make intention before he fasts. Now, in our minds, we think that intention means that we have to say with our mouth that I intend to fast tomorrow after Fajr Salah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, it is correct to make a verbal intention, but it is not necessary to make a verbal intention. As long as you know inside your heart that I am fasting, or I'm going to fast after Fajr Salah, that thinking inside your heart and that mindset you have, that is considered your intention. The same way, if you have the intention before you go to sleep that I'm going to wake up for suhoor. So waking up for suhoor, why does a person wake up for suhoor? Because he wants to fast. So just making that niyyah that I'm going to wake up for suhoor, that is also a valid intention for fasting. And partaking suhoor in itself, a person, he didn't make an intention, but he woke up for suhoor. So his waking up and eating suhoor, this is also an intention. So let's say, for example, a person, he went to sleep thinking that, you know, I'm going to be fasting tomorrow. Now he didn't wake up for suhoor, and he slept until even Fajr time ended. And then he woke up, so his fast is still valid. Because before he went to sleep, he had intention inside his heart that I'm going to fast. So his fast is valid and there's no reason to make a niyat again, and he can continue fasting that day, inshallah it will be valid. Who is fasting necessary upon? Fasting is necessary upon a person who is sane. Meaning a person who does not have any mental problems, he knows what's going on, he understands everything. And a person who is mature. Now when does a person become mature? A male will become mature when he experiences a wet dream, or when his beard starts growing. If these signs occur before the age of 14 years and 7 months, he will automatically be considered mature. And if a young boy, he didn't grow his beard, or he didn't experience a wet dream before that age, then automatically at the age of 15 lunar years, which equals to 14 years and 7 months according to the solar year, he will be automatically considered mature, and all the ahkam of shari'at and all the rulings will be necessary upon him. It is necessary for him to perform salah, it is necessary for him to give zakah if he has the money, and it is also necessary for him to fast in the month of Ramadan. So a person who is sane, he is male, he is mature, and he has the ability to fast. He has the health to fast. Now, what if a person is sick? Does he have to fast? If he doesn't fast, does he have to give fidya? What should he do? So if a person is so sick that the doctor tells him that it is very detrimental to your health to fast, or if you fast, you will not heal as fast as you are supposed to, it will take longer for you to become better, or if you fast, you will become even more worse, or there's certain medication that you have to take, and if you don't take that medication, then it is going to cause damage to your health. So for that person, he is allowed not to fast and he is excused from fasting. But he will have to make up qada later on, whenever it's time. So there are certain people who in the summer months, it is very difficult for them to fast. Because in the summer, 16-17 hour fast. And in that 17 hours, they need to take their medicine in that time. So for them, if they can fast in the winter time, then it is necessary for them to make up for those fasts in the winter months when the day is very short. Now, is that person allowed to give fidya or not? Right? A lot of people, they think that if you're not able to fast, then automatically we give fidya, and we give $5 that we have every fast. That's not the ruling. Fidya is for that person who is very old and very sick, that there is no hope of him being cured again. There's no hope of him recovering from that illness. And the doctors have told him that now you will be going to suffer from this illness until the time you die. So for that person, it is allowed for him that if he doesn't fast, he gives fidya on behalf of each fast. And what does fidya mean? Fidya means that the same amount you pay for sadaqat al-fitr on Eid, which is in Canada is calculated at $5. So $5 on behalf of each fast. Okay, he will give for those days he couldn't fast. But if a person, he is sick, temporary sickness, or he's going through some treatment, and after 1 or 2 years he knows that he's going to become better,
then it is not allowed for him to give fidya. Rather, he will have to make up for those fasts when he is healthy. But he can do wasiyya. And wasiyya means that he can make a will and he can tell his family that if I die before I can make up for these fasts, then after I die from my wealth, you pay my fidya and whatever fasts I've missed, I'll write them down for you. And on behalf of each fast, you pay fidya on my behalf. So if a person, he's going to make up for his fast later after 100 years after he gets better, but he should still make a will and in case he passes away before that, that on behalf of each fast, you can pay a fidya for me. Okay, so that's for a sick person. A woman who is pregnant or a woman who is breastfeeding, does she have to fast or not? So yes, she has to fast unless her doctor or someone tells her, an experienced and trustworthy doctor tells her that it's harmful for you to fast. If you don't fast, there is either harm for you or there is harm for your baby. Or if it's a breastfeeding lady and the doctor tells her that if you fast, then you won't be producing enough milk, and you won't be producing enough milk, or the quality of your milk will be affected, and that will have an adverse effect on the child, then that woman is allowed to stay away, that woman is excused, and she doesn't have to fast, and she can make up for those fasts later on. Another question that some people ask is, I have a very tough job. I'm working in the construction field, or I have a job where I have a lot of physical work to do, and sometimes at 12, 1 o'clock, I get so thirsty that if I don't drink water, I think I'm about to faint. So for those people, we advise them that because the month of Ramadan comes once a year, if you can, most people are allowed to take sick leaves throughout the year, or they have some vacation time they're allowed to take. As much as possible, try and take the month of Ramadan off, and you know, and try and fast the month of Ramadan. But if someone has to work and there's no way to take that time off, then even then he still will have to start his fast, and then he will try and continue keeping his fast until he comes to a time where he thinks that now it is impossible, virtually impossible for me. Now if I don't drink water, I'm going to faint or something is going to happen to me. Then at that time, he can do istighfar. He can say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, I'm very weak. I cannot do this. And then he can drink some water and he can break his fast like that. But from the beginning, he still has to keep his fast. It is necessary for him to keep his fast. Another question a lot of people ask is about the asthma pump, inhaler. Some people, they suffer from asthma, and they need to take their inhaler. So what is the ruling? Does the pump break their fast or not? So the ruling with that is, some ulama, they have said that the asthma pump will not break your fast. And the reason for that is, the medicine that is taken in, it does not go through the food pipe, rather it goes through the windpipe. And it doesn't go to the stomach, it goes to the lungs. But that's not correct. Research has proven that no matter, even the majority of the medicine goes down the windpipe and goes to the lungs, but that medicine which is converted into vapor, a small, minute amount of it actually goes down the food pipe. And because of that, the fast is considered to be broken. So if a person who suffers from long-term asthma, or has a chronic asthma sickness, then he can try and make up for those fasts during the winter months. Maulana Khalid Saifullah Rahmani, who is also a very big mufti in India, he says that if a person suffers from a chronic asthma disease and he has to take the inhaler, then what he should do is he should fast in the month of Ramadan. When he needs to take the inhaler, he should take it as well because of the difference of opinion, and he should continue fasting, and at the same time, out of caution, he should pay fidya, and he should give fidya for every fast. So this is what Maulana Khalid Saifullah Rahmani, who is also a great mufti, he has said that a person who suffers from chronic asthma disease and he needs to take the inhaler, he should take it, continue his fast, and at the same time, out of caution, he should pay fidya for each fast. Okay? What are the different types of fasts? Obviously, there are many different types of fasts. There are fasts that we keep in the month of Ramadan. There is the nafil and voluntary fast that we can keep anytime throughout the year. There are certain wajib fasts that a person who took an oath upon himself. Like for example, if I pass my test, or if I pass my driving test, or if I get my citizenship, then I'm going to fast for 5 days. So that fast becomes wajib. Inshallah, today we'll only concentrate on the fast of Ramadan. So when we spoke about niyya, when is the latest time that a person can make his niyya until? Okay. So the time from niyya starts from Maghrib Salah. So today we made iftar at Maghrib Salah. As soon as we made iftar, now we can make niyya for the next day. We can make niyya for the next day. And the time for niyya expires the next day at midday. Now when is midday? So we take the time that when the roza started. So the roza, for example, today started at 3:50. And the roza ended today at 9:02. So you take the time from the beginning of the fast, and you take the time at the end of the fast, and you calculate how much time it is. And let's say for argument's sake, it is 8 hours. So take that 8 hours and divide it by two. So you get 4 hours. So 4 hours after the fast started, you're allowed to make niyyah until there. So let's say today, how long was the fast today? 16 hours? 17 hours? Okay, 16 hours.
17.
Okay, 17 hours. So half of 17 hours is 8.5 hours, right? So if you calculate from 4 o'clock, 8.5 hours is when? 12:30. So a person, he can make his niyyah of fasting until 12:30. 12:30, he can, even if, as long as he didn't eat anything, he didn't drink anything, and he didn't have any activities with his wife, he can make niyyah until 12:30. That is the time for niyyah. Okay. What are the conditions for a valid fast? The first condition for a valid fast is a person has niyyah. We discussed the niyyah. Number two, that a woman, this applies for a woman, she is free from menstruation and she is free from lokiya. The monthly menses that a woman goes through, and the lokiya, which is the blood that a woman experiences after giving birth. So if a woman is in her haiz or she is in her lokiya, which is called nifas, she is not allowed to fast. Now what happens if a woman was pure at the time when the fast began, but later on during the day she experienced the menses? So as soon as she experienced the menses, her fast is broken now. That day no longer counts. She will have to make qada for that another day. Now the rest of the day she can continue eating, she can continue drinking, but away from the eyes of the people, in secret she can continue eating and drinking. Similarly, if a woman was in her period at the beginning of the fast, but then during the day she became pure, 9-10 o'clock she became pure. So even then she is not allowed to fast for the rest of the day, that fast is not considered valid, she will have to make up for that fast another day. But from the time she became pure all the way to the Maghrib Salah, she will have to stay away from eating and drinking. She's not allowed to eat, not in secret, and not in front of the people either. So there's two different scenarios. One is she was pure at the time of the beginning of the fast, and then she experienced her haiz. If she experienced her haiz after starting the fast, then she will break her fast and she can eat and drink. But if she was in her menses at the time the roza started, and then she became pure, then now she will have to abstain from eating and drinking for the rest of the day. So those are the conditions of fasting for the validity of the fast. Now, what are those things which break a person's fast, and what are those things which don't break a fast? Now, those actions which breaks a person's fast, there are two categories. One category is such that if a person breaks his fast through any of those things, two things become necessary upon him. Number one, he has to make up for that fast. And number two, he has to give kafara. And kafara means he has to fast for 60 days in a row as a penalty for breaking his fast. And those 60 days are such that in the middle he cannot even miss even one day. Even if in the middle of that 60 days he becomes sick, or for some reason he had to break one fast, then he has to start the 60 all over again. And there are some things that if you break your fast with, then you only have to make one qada, and kafara is not necessary. What are those things which if a person does, he has to do qada and also he has to do kafara, meaning he has to fast for 60 days? Number one, eating or drinking something that a human would normally consume, and this consummation nourishes him, it medicates him, and it pleases his body. So anything, a person was fasting and then he ate something that a person normally eats, whether it's rice, whether it's yogurt, whether it's some fruit, right? Because that causes nourishment for a person's body, it gives him the energy, right? So if a person breaks it like that, then what does he have to do? He has to make up for that one day fast, and also he has to give a penalty, which is fasting for 60 days in a row. Number two, and this is obviously when he does it purposely. If he does it out of an excuse, or if he does it forgetfully, then obviously he doesn't have to give the penalty. Number two, a person, he fulfills his carnal desires with his wife. Knowingly, he knows that he's fasting, and knowingly he fulfilled his desires with his wife, then a person will have to make up for that fast, and a person will also have to fast for 60 days to make up for it. And number three, swallowing the saliva of one's spouse. A person was showing passion to his wife, and he swallowed her saliva, so that would also make a person have to do qada, and he would also have to fast for it 60 days. Now, what is the penalty for breaking the fast purposely? Number one, as I mentioned, if a person has the capability to fast for 60 days, then he has to and has to and has to fast for 60 days in a row. The only thing that can come in between is a woman's menses. So the woman, she's doing her kafara, and after 30 days she has her menses for 3 and 4 days, that's okay. But as soon as her menses is complete, she has to continue fasting and complete those 60 days. If a person cannot, for some reason his health is not good and he cannot fast for 60 days, then the second option is he has to feed one poor person to his fill 2 meals a day for 60 days. So one person, he has to give him lunch and he has to give him dinner for 60 days in a row. Or he can feed 60 people, morning, 60 people, lunch and day, all at one time. So either option, one person for 60 days, or 60 people, one time, lunch and dinner, through their fill. That is the second option. And the third option is to free a slave, but in our day and age, there's no such thing as slaves. So either of these two options. But if we can do the first one, then he is not allowed to do the second one. If a person broke his fast due to an excuse, and the excuse was that he couldn't fast anymore, or he became so sick, or he thought that if he didn't eat, then something would happen to him, he would faint or something like that, then he can break his fast, and there will be no need to pay a penalty. All he would have to do is make one qadha. Okay. Those things which nullify the fast, and you do not have to pay the penalty. What are those things? Remember, fast breaks from those things which enter the body, and not from those things which leave the body. Fast breaks, the rule of thumb is that a fast breaks by anything entering the body cavity or the brain. Anything that reaches the brain or anything reaches the body cavity, which is the stomach and the intestines, through any open part of our body that has a direct connection to the stomach, that has a direct connection to the stomach or direct connection to the brain, this will cause a person's fast to break. And what are those places? Number one, the mouth. Anything that enters the mouth, it goes directly to the stomach. Or anything that enters through the nose. Anything that enters through the nose, it goes straight to the brain. Or anything that enters a person's backside. If a person enters medicine from his rectal area, that will also cause a person's fast to break. Okay? So number one, eating or drinking accidentally. There's a difference between accident and there's a difference between forgetfulness. People don't understand that. One is eating forgetfully. You didn't realize that you had a fast. You forgot that you were fasting and you ate. In that situation, your fast doesn't break. You can continue fasting. But one is accidentally. What is the example for that? Let's say you were making wudu and you were gargling. You knew you were fasting, but by mistake, some water came down. By mistake, you swallowed some water. So in that situation, your fast will break and you have to make qada for it. So there's a difference between forgetfulness and there's a difference between mistake. If something you eat something by mistake, your fast will be considered broken. Eating or drinking because one thought Maghrib entered, but Maghrib did not enter. So for example, Maghrib time is at 9 o'clock, but your watch was 5 minutes ahead. Okay, so according to your watch, you broke your fast at 9 o'clock, but then you realize that the actual time is 8:55. So you broke your fast 5 minutes early. So your fast is broken, and now you have to make qada for that. Eating or drinking because one doubted that Fajr entered, but Fajr really did enter. So the time for Fajr was 4 o'clock. Okay? But you thought it was still 3:50. And you were content with your suhoor. Then when you checked the real time, it was actually 4:05. So you were actually eating while Fajr's time hardly entered, so that fast for that day is not valid, and you have to make qada for that. Eating or drinking forgetfully, and thereafter thinking that the fast is broken, to deliberately eat and drink again. So a person, he never knew the masla. Okay, the masla is that if you eat something out of forgetfulness, your fast is still valid. Okay, but a person, he never knew this, and he thought that, oh, you know what, I already ate out of forgetfulness, my fast is broken. So then he just continued eating the rest of the day. Okay, so then his fast will be broken, and he will only have to give qada, he will not have to do kafara. Number four, swallowing what is in between the teeth on the condition that it is the size of a chickpea or bigger. So let's say when you're doing suhoor, you had some meat left in between your teeth, and that was less than the size of a chickpea. And after suhoor, when you're brushing your teeth and you're moving your tongue around inside your mouth, you swallowed that piece of meat, or you swallowed that morsel of food that was left inside your mouth. So if it's smaller than the size of a chickpea, then your fast is considered valid, your fast won't break. Swallowing water by accident when gargling for wudu or ghusl. Like I just mentioned, if you're making wudu by mistake, or a few drops of water went down your mouth, your fast is broken. Swallowing blood that exits from the gums and overcomes the saliva. So sometimes when we're brushing, we bleed. Or sometimes people, they bleed from their mouth. Now, either the blood will be more than the saliva and the saliva will be less, or either there will be a small amount of blood but the saliva will be more. If the blood is more than the saliva, so when you spit, the majority of the spit is red, and you swallowed that, then your fast will be broken. But if the saliva is more and there's only one or two drops of blood inside there and you swallowed that, your fast will still be valid and your fast will not be broken. Swallowing toothpaste or mouthwash. What is the ruling of using toothpaste while fasting? So the ulama have said that it's makruh to use toothpaste while fasting. And the reason for that is the roza doesn't break because of toothpaste. Because when you use toothpaste, use it in mouth and spit it out. But there are very high chances of a person swallowing a bit of that flavor, a bit of that toothpaste. And as soon as he swallows a bit, then that roza will break. So the reason it's makruh is you are putting your fast at risk of breaking. You're putting your fast in danger. So if a person had only a little bit of toothpaste and he brushed and he made sure he spit everything out, then his fast will still be intact. But we should make a habit of, instead of using toothpaste in the month of Ramadan, especially the beautiful sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, using miswak, instead of using toothpaste, inshallah we should try and use miswak. Deliberately swallowing vomit that reaches a mouthful. Now vomiting. Does vomiting break your fast or not? In two situations, vomiting breaks your fast. Number one, you vomit a mouthful intentionally. Intentionally, you purposely vomit a mouthful. You vomit a mouthful purposely, your fast will break. And number two, involuntarily, involuntarily you vomited a mouthful, but then you swallowed it. Okay? Involuntarily, a mouthful came out, so you didn't do it purposely, so your fast didn't break, but voluntarily you swallowed that vomit back down. So your fast will break. Understand? So voluntarily vomiting a mouthful, that will cause your fast to break. Or involuntarily vomiting a mouthful, but then voluntarily swallowing it, that will cause your fast to break. Smoke that enters the throat by one's doing, on the condition that one's body doesn't benefit from it. Smoke. Smoking. Does smoking break your fast? Or if you're going outside, someone else is smoking, passive smoking, does that break your fast? So intentionally inhaling smoke, that will cause a person's fast to break. But if a person is just walking around, someone else is smoking around him, and by chance he inhaled that smoke, he didn't go specifically there and inhaled it, purposely inhaled it, so his fast will not break. Similarly, any other smoke that, you know, sometimes that agarbatti inside the house, or something that we are burning something inside the house, and intentionally we don't take it in, inshallah our fast will be safe. Kissing that causes one's impure fluids to release from his body, on the condition that one did not swallow the other's saliva. So, what is the ruling on not having intercourse with one's wife, but fulfilling one's passion in other ways, by kissing or foreplay or by touching one's spouse? So, the ruling for that is, if a person has control over himself, and he knows that kissing or touching my wife is not going to lead to intercourse, then it is permissible for him to do so. As long as he doesn't swallow his wife's spit or saliva. But if he thinks that that's going to lead me committing intercourse, and it is haram for him to have any sort of foreplay with his wife. Okay? So those are those things which enter from our mouth and from our throat. Number two, those things which have to do with our private parts. Number one, engaging in intercourse because one still thinks fajr has not entered, but it really has. Okay, we already discussed that. Entering a suppository into the rectal side. So a person has to put some medicine in from his behind. Or he had to insert a suppository. A suppository is that syringe that they insert from the back. Some people have piles, or they have some disease, they have to put in medicine from the backside. So if they insert that syringe all the way inside the a person's rectal area, then that will cause a person's fast to break. Now, in the olden books, it is mentioned that a woman, if she is to insert medicine or anything inside her front private part, then it causes a person's fast to break. Mufti Muhammad Rafi Usmani Saab, who is a very big Mufti in Pakistan, his research is that there is not a direct connection between a woman's front private parts and the stomach. So if a woman wants to put medicine through her front private part, or was to insert anything, if she went to a doctor for any sort of exam or something, and then to insert something through her front private parts, then that will not cause her fast to break. Number three, the nose. Water used to clean the nose for wudu or ghusl, and it reaches the throat or the brain. So a person is making wudu or he's taking a shower, and he takes water inside his nose, and then he sniffs it all the way up. And you know, when it reaches that soft part, you can feel the effect inside your head. Right? So if a person does that, then his fast will break, because that water has reached the brain. Number two, inhaling medicine into the nostrils. Any medicine that is taken from the nostril, that will also cause a person's fast to break, because there is a direct connection between the nose and the brain.
And number three, inhaling smoke by one's doing, which we already discussed. Okay? So these are the things that cause a person's fast to break. What are the things that do not cause a person's fast to break? Number one, eating or drinking something forgetfully. Eating something that is between the teeth if it is less than the size of a chickpea. Tasting the leftover traces of medicine in the mouth or throat. What does that mean? Sometimes we have medicine or we have something to eat and the body of that medicine has already been swallowed before suhoor. But the after effect, that taste, we can feel it inside our throat. Sometimes when you burp, you can feel the taste of that medicine inside. Sometimes, you know, some people take that fish oil. Fish oil is very healthy for you. Some people, you take that fish oil, after 1 hour you will burp and you will feel that the effect of it inside your throat. You can feel the taste inside your throat. So a person's fast won't break because of that. Dust or smoke entering one's throat without one's doing. Unintentionally, you inhale smoke, a person's fast will not break. Swallowing one's own saliva. A lot of people ask that as well. Like, can a person swallow their own saliva? So it's makruh to gather all your spit at once and swallow it together. But bit by bit, if you swallow your saliva, there's nothing wrong with that. A person's fast will not break. Similarly, swallowing one's own phlegm. A lot of people, they have a lot of phlegm gathering up inside their mouth. If you swallow that, inshallah, your fast will not break as well. Using a miswak or toothbrush. By using miswak, your fast will not break. And if you swallow one or two hairs of that miswak as well, your fast will not break because of that either. A lot of people ask about using Vicks when they're fasting. Okay? So if you use the actual Vicks and you apply it inside your nose over here, or you just inhale that, you know, you just smell that Vicks. So just by smelling Vicks or applying Vicks to your nose, your fast will not break. But if you boil that Vicks or you heat that Vicks up and the vapor that comes up, you inhale that vapor. So because the actual body of that Vicks is going inside your nose, then your fast will break. Okay? The eyes. Applying kuhal inside the eyes, surma. Kuhal, I don't know how you say that in English, but if you apply surma inside the eyes, your fast will not break even though you feel the effect of it inside your throat. Sometimes when you apply kuhal inside your eyes, you can actually feel that effect, you can actually taste it inside your throat. So that will not cause a person's fast to break. Similarly, a person has to apply drops inside his eyes, so applying drops inside the eyes will not cause a person's fast to break either. The ears. Okay. Applying water going inside the ears. Water going inside the ears will not cause the fast to break either. Putting medicine or any eardrops, will that cause a person's break to fast? A person's fast to break? So the old books, again, they have mentioned that applying any medicine through the ears will cause a person's fast to break because there is a direct connection between the ear and the stomach. But again, Mufti Rafi Uthmani, he has conducted a research and the doctors and the scientists have said that there's actually no direct passageway going from the ears to the stomach. And whatever the Mufti said before, that was based on the research at that time, but the new research showed that there's no direct passageway. So a person needs to apply medicine in his ears while he's fasting, he can do so, and inshallah his fast will not break. And the body in general, applying any cream, applying any oil, applying oil on the head, or applying deodorant, none of this will break a person's fast. A person goes to the doctor and has to take a blood test. When you take a blood test, blood goes in or blood comes out? Blood comes out. So taking a blood test will not cause a person's fast to break. What about taking an insulin injection? Okay, a person, those who are suffering from diabetes, but it's not so bad that they can, you know, they can fast. So taking an insulin injection will not cause a person's fast to break. Because insulin, when it's injected, is injected into the skin, and then it goes through layers of skin and then it enters the bloodstream and then it goes through the whole bloodstream and then a person he gets the benefit from it through the bloodstream and not from the stomach. So taking any sort of injection, any other type of medicine, a glucose shot, it will not affect a person's fast unless it is injected directly into the stomach. If a person out of some sort of surgery where there's a wound inside his stomach and some medicine is applied directly inside his stomach or directly to his brain, then a person's fast will break. But taking injection or taking any sort of supplement anywhere else or some sort of nicotine patch or something like that will not cause a person's fast to break. Did you go to Swahili? Anyone need to ask any questions? If it has to be given to those people, we give our zakat to. So the poor people, anyone who owns less than himself or has no money, the normal people we give our zakat to, the mustahiq of zakat, those are the people that we'll pay our fidya to. Applying perfume is fine as long as you don't inhale the perfume. The vapor of that perfume, if you inhale that, you'll affect your body, there's nothing wrong with that.
When the glory becomes mature.
A girl will become mature when she starts to experience her menses, and if she doesn't experience her menses, then at the age of 14 years and 7 months, she will be considered mature.
Kafara and qaza, both together, or the qaza is different from the kafara?
Qaza and kafara is different. So, like I mentioned, if a person purposely broke his fast during the day, he has to do qaza and he has to do kafara. Qaza is just making up for that fast, and that kafara is completely separate, it's a separate penalty. So that those 60 days he can do together anytime. But he has to make sure that those 60 days are such that Ramadan does not come in between, or the Ayyam al-Tashriq do not come in between. Ayyam al-Tashriq means the days of Eid al-Adha. The days of Eid al-Adha, those complete 5 days, they don't come in between because it is not permissible to fast during those days. So he has to make sure it is 60 days, no Ramadan comes in between, and the days of Tashriq do not come in between.
So altogether 61
days. Altogether will be 61 days. If a person, just one more thing. If a person, for example, in one Ramadan, he broke 3 or 4 fasts, purposely. So for all those 4 fasts, one kafara will suffice. He doesn't have to keep a separate kafara for each fast. One kafara will suffice on behalf of all of them.
Yeh bata dijiye agar jab wo, agar ye ek ke badle mein jitne chahe reh sakte, to fir wo galti na kare aisa kafare ke liye.
Ji.
एक कफारे का एक अगर एक से चार गलतियां अगर हो गई कफारे के
लिए
तो एक ही करना है और फिर गलती ना करें वो अमदन ऐसा
हाँ सही है he's saying that just because there's one kafara for breaking 4 or 5 fasts doesn't mean you make that mistake over and over again you know that that's to not fast in the month of Ramadan purposely Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says even if a person fasts his whole life he will not be able to make up for that one fast right similarly if one or two Ramadans let's say he missed 4 fasts this Ramadan he broke them purposely and then the whole year he never kept kafara. And the next year Ramadan comes, and he broke 1 or 2 fasts over there as well. And then 2 Ramadans passed, even then one kafara will suffice on behalf of both the Ramadans. The fast he broke in the first Ramadan, and the fast that he broke in the second Ramadan, one kafara will suffice on behalf of all of them. 60 days in a row.
Qaza alag hai, kafara alag hai.
Qaza alag hai, kafara alag. Mouthwash is the same thing. The same rule that is for toothpaste, the same ruling. That if you don't swallow it, then your roza will be valid, your roza will not break. But if you even swallow one drop, then your fast will be broken. That is why we advise that you shouldn't use mouthwash. Kulli ke baad mumbe paani rah jaye. If you gargle in water, and then you spit it out, and after spitting it out, a bit is left inside your mouth, and then you swallow that, because it's unavoidable, your fast will not break. But the condition is you have to spit it out first. You spit out it completely, and then whatever remains, that's fine. Yeah, so if you swallow your phlegm, either from the throat or from the nose, it's fine, your fast won't break. Okay, so number one, in 1 month of Ramadan, he broke a couple of fasts, right, on different days. So let's say he broke 4 fasts in the month of Ramadan. So now, after Ramadan finishes, number one, he has to do qada for each of them. So that's 4. 4 qadas. And then he'll have to give one full penalty of 60 days. And that 60 day penalty will be sufficient on all 4. So the qaza of each is separate, and then one kafara is enough for all 4 of them.
So the qaza has to be done.
No, it can be either. It's better to do qaza first.
Qaza to alag alag kabhi bhi rakh sakte hain.
Yes, you don't have to keep the qaza all at once. You can keep it separately once every week. It doesn't matter, as long as you get the 4 done. But we should try to do it as soon as Ramadan finishes, we should try to do it right away. What qaza is running, right? We don't know when we're going to die. Before you are mature, after mature. If you have yaqeen and you know 100% that I did break it intentionally and I broke it by eating or drinking, right? Then it's better out of caution. If you have yaqeen, if you're 100% sure you know, then it's better to keep one kafara at least. So one kafara will be sufficient and no matter how many you broke. But the qaza, you should make that estimation. Have it, inshallah. Maybe do a few extra just out of being more cautious. Inshallah, Allah will be. Do tawbah as a part of the same time.
Instead of qada, can we pay
5 dirhams? Instead of? If you have the ability to do qada, then you have to do
qada. No, I'm talking about old days, like when he was young.
Oh no, because he still has the ability to do qada, and he cannot pay fidya.
He is having strength.
He still has the strength to do qada. Fidya is only for those people who now don't have capability to fast for the rest of their life. Rufi al-Aqlam wa al-Thalathin. Those 3 people that there is no account for them. One child before he is becomes mature, and a mental person before he becomes a saint. Third one, a sleeping person until he wakes up.
So if you eat by mistake and you sleep, then inshallah you pass on.
So who will be pregnant during the pregnancy and then subsequently
after that?
If she is doing breastfeeding, that's a period of almost 3 years.
Yeah.
So then she has to make up 90 days of
fast. Yeah, of course, she has to make up for that. Yeah. But if it's short, if it's Ramadan, like in the winter, and she thinks that she can fast, the 6-7 hour fast, it's better to fast. Obviously, in the summer is very difficult. And the doctors actually say that if a woman is breastfeeding and she doesn't eat, then it affects the quality of her milk. So it's better for her not to fast during those days. If it goes up to your brain, you can tell 100%. You are whole, you get that brain freeze type of thing.
Sometimes you just have a bit of brain.
That's okay.
I think I heard from somebody that if it enters even like the half of the inches,
the soft part of the nose, it goes beyond that. You can feel it, you know that this is the feeling, so that it's reached my brain. Up beyond that, beyond the soft part, yeah.
So if you feel burning, does that mean it's not faster?
The burning you don't feel in your nose, the burning you feel in your brain.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But if I feel it's burning,
in your nose, it's okay, that's fine.
What happens to minus things, like, somebody do some kind of minus things during fasting?
Yeah, so stuff like rebirth or backbiting or any sort of minor sins, that does not affect the validity of the fast. Your fast will be valid, but obviously the reward that you should be getting and the spirituality you should be getting from your fast, obviously that will not be
attained. Looking at a woman?
That's all the same thing.
One time is okay.
Sorry?
First time is okay, but second time continuously.
And just one more thing. If a person, by touching his wife or by showing affection to his wife, is napaki comes out and his fluids are come out from his body, then he has to do qada, but he doesn't have to do kafar. Kafar is only when he does full intercourse. Faraid for ghusl. Faraid for ghusl, generally the faraid outside of Ramadan is that your entire body, water should be every single part of your body, every single hair of your body, and also you should gargle, water should reach every part of your mouth, and you should take water into your nose up to the soft part of the nose. But in the month of Ramadan, you're excused from gargling, from exaggeration in gargling. Just lightly rinse your mouth, and you don't, and just just lightly rinse your nose. You don't have to take it all the way up. Yeah. So if you have a wet dream, that doesn't break your fast. Ejaculation, if it's through your own actions, whatever that may be, right? Your fast will break. But wet dream is your own action, doesn't play a role inside there. So a person's fast will not break. If a person had a wet dream before Fajr time came in, right? And he woke up maybe after that. And he woke up, Fajr time already came in, and he's still in the state of janaba. That doesn't affect his fast. He should take a shower and he should break Fajr Salah. Don't affect his fast. Not on all the way, no. Just let him clean your nose. Let him rinse your
own. In daytime sleeping,
daytime sleeping has a wet dream, same thing, your fast will break. But as soon as it's a very bad habit that a lot of people have. As soon as you have a wet dream, you should get up right away and you should clean that part. If you don't want to take a shower, minimum you should at least go to the washroom and take water and clean that area. There's a lot of bad health effects of staying in the state of janabah as well. So his question is that water going inside your body from the backside.
Right.
So like I mentioned, there is a direct connection from the backside to the intestines. So if something medicine was to go in from the backside to the intestines, your fast would break. Now he's saying that what if you're cleaning yourself after number two and water goes in? So very rarely, very rarely, it's nearly impossible that by a person just cleaning himself or using the lota or using even a hose, that water will go all the way to that end. A syringe is normally about this big. So only if you put something that far in would something actually get that far. Just on the rectal area is, just by cleaning that area, no water would ever get that far. So unless you actually put something all the way in.
When you're washing.
Yeah, just a bit. Unless it goes in this much, you're safe.
So, if you're swimming, then automatically you have swimming. If you're in the water, you have to keep it.
No, swimming will be only one. It's like when you're swimming, your muscles are contracted. So water won't go in from the back. But swimming, a person should avoid it because obviously, there's chances of him swallowing the water.
So if you're making something, can you taste it?
So the fuqaha said that it's makruh to taste it. There's no necessity for it. Right? They're only given ijazat in one situation. I don't know if I should mention it, but there's a lady and her husband is very strict and he gets very angry when she doesn't cook food properly. Right? So they've given permission for her that she can just taste it on the tip of her tongue and spit it back out. But besides that, there's no necessity, so. But husband shouldn't be oppressing the wife like that, anyways.
Yeah, we make huge trouble here. So,
make sure that it's. And those who are experts, they don't have to taste, they can just. Not too far, just follow. Because I'll be mistaken. Not too far. Just wake up one day. Yeah, and he didn't do it purposely, it was by mistake, it was an accident. So no kafara.
So still you have to do kafara?
It's kafara. Yes, we have to do kafara. Because the time of fasting was still there and wait. So that's not forgetfully, that's mistake. Like I mentioned, doing something by mistake will break your fast.
What if you do it on the minute that Fajr enters?
Sorry?
What if you eat on the minute that
Fajr enters? Yeah, so normally we say that out of cautiousness, even 1 or 2 minutes prior to that,
yeah.
you should so you're actually really on the borderline. So.
Is it?
I think to be on the safe side, you should do further. So basically, if you had niyyah from before that, right? So let's say at 12 o'clock, you made niyyah that moved too fast, and at 2 o'clock, you drank alcohol, you had drugs, and you were intoxicated. And then you spend the whole day like that. Because you have niyyah, then that fast will count. But let's say you were intoxicated at 2 o'clock and you stayed in that intoxication all the way till 12:30 the next day, before that midday time. Right? So then you won't be able to fast then. Same way, for example, a person, he makes niyyah to fast, right? And then he goes unconscious. Right? And then he wakes up just before morning time. Or the same amount of time he finishes. Then that one day fast will be valid, because he has niyyah. And becoming unconscious does not invalidate your fast. Right? And when he was unconscious, he didn't eat, he didn't drink anything. So there's no reason for his fast to break.
But alcohol stays in your body for 30 days or something?
Yeah, but it stayed in your body. It's already inside your body. It's food we eat before that stays in our body anyways, right? Of course, whatever we eat in sukkur, that stays in our body throughout the day as it is. So as long as you don't take it in after the sukkur, after the
fajr. You can taste.
Yeah, so like I just mentioned, by taste, nothing will happen. Then it came back out, like vomit.
Yeah, like,
you know, just a little. Yeah, so that's basically vomit. So if it's less than a mouthful, your fast will go. If it's less than a mouthful, then you need to voluntarily take it back out. Now, what's the difference between a mouthful? A mouthful is considered that much vomit that you cannot hold it back. You cannot hold it back unless you really put force towards it. It's most likely going as a mouthful. Which one did you? Is
that the darkhas ye thi ki aise is tarah jaisa roze ke asat ke log hain pehle bhi la to namaz ke masal ka bhi kabhi
ha inshallah
mere apne aa jata
hai ki is namaz ka bhi kahenge zakat ka bhi
kahenge sahi namaz ka khas tarah
inshallah
imam ke piche farz namaz mein bhi aur fir apni namazon mein bhi inshallah
I haven't fixed the date yet, but inshallah in this Ramadan we'll do it.
Inshallah.
Even the last chapter.
اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى من عدل ما تحب وترضى من القول والعمل وجنبنا الفواحش والمعاصي والخطايا والذلل وبناتنا في الدنيا حسنه وفي الاخره حسنه وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الفقر وقنا عذاب الدين احشرنا يوم القيامه مع المتقين ومع الابرار ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكون من الخاسرين اللهم انك عفو رحيم كريم تحب العفو واعف عنا يا كريم اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق واعمالنا من الرياء والسنتنا من الكذب واعيننا من الخيانه انك تعلم خائنه الاعين وما تخفي الصدور اللهم تقبل منا صيامنا وقيامنا وتلاوتنا وركوعنا وسجودنا انك انت السميع العليم تب علينا يا مولانا انك انت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله